Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. That's the late, great Dan Fogelberg bringing this back. That song is called, what is that called? I'll think of it in a minute. Anyway, that's from the Innocent Age album, and that's called The Nexus. That song is The Nexus from the Innocent Age album. That's a 30-year-old album that's still outstanding. I recommend it to you. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Having a great visit with our new friend, Lawrence Vincent. He says we can call him Larry. He's the author of Brand Real, and it's all about branding. That's what he does. His whole work, his entire life is about branding. He's been doing it for a long time. And he knows about branding and small business. He gets it. That's one of the reasons we saw his information. We could tell that he gets it about what small business owners need to do. Larry, thank you for that. Thank you for your perspectives on small business, especially in your book. Tell the audience how they can find you and your book, please.
You can find me. I keep a blog where I try to add material to Brand Real, and that's on lawrencevincent.com, and Lawrence with a U, so I make it even harder to remember me by having a funny spelling my name. And I also share things regularly on Twitter at L. Vincent.
All right, so check that out. And the book is available, I know, wherever books are sold.
Correct.
You know, Larry, we do talk about the fact that a brand is not a logo, a brand is not a slogan, it's not a catchphrase, it's not a marketing message. A brand is the essence of a brand, especially more and more every day, I think, is the experience that people have with you and how they, as a friend of mine once said, it's the ding in branding. Whenever they think of you, a ding goes off in their mind, and they either want you or they don't want you. It could go either way, but it's the ding that's the big deal. It's that experience. How do I feel about these people? But the truth is, it does help to have collateral material that supports that, like a name that's intuitive, like a brand, like a logo that fits, that kind of thing, isn't it?
It is. I mean, actually, I like what you said at the beginning. I want to touch on just a moment before I talk about a name or logo, but it is the experience. You know, I talk to you about the fact that a brand, the equity of a brand can be measured by the value of the experiences over what I expect from the brand. And the more that a brand can meet or exceed my expectations through the experience, the more valuable it is. So you're absolutely right. That's where you should focus your attention. But I hear a lot of times, you know, friends of mine who are starting new businesses, entrepreneurs, and they get a lot of anxiety about what kind of name they should come up with for their business, and you know, they start thinking about who they should talk to about their logo. And those things are important. They're the identity side of what a brand is, and the behavior side is the one that's most important. And you can have a bad name and even a boring logo and have a great brand if your experience is compelling. That's what I try to advise them is, yes, we want to get you a great name if we can, but Facebook is not exactly a really evocative name. It's a gigantic business that's expected to go for $100 billion at its IPO. So it didn't get there because it had a great name. It got there because it had a great name.
Well, what does Nike mean, for God's sake? You know, Nike, what is that? I mean, what did that mean that they won, you know?
Yeah, and there's an interesting one. You know, it actually has great symbolic roots in the goddess of war.
But who knows that?
Most average, no one knew it. So they built the meaning into their name. You know, and in the book, I shared an anecdote of a friend of mine, a colleague named Andrew Brew, Adam Brew, who talked about how he actually rejects this movement about naming your children. Some people are putting those out into surveys now, where they're asking people to rate names that they have for their soon to be born children.
Right.
And he rejects this because he says, you know, the meaning of a name really comes from how the child is raised and how that child, what they give to the world.
Ah.
And I think that's true for brands, too. Your small business, you name it what you think it's right. Now, you want to avoid the obvious, you know, foibles, but you're going to put the meaning in the name by what you do.
You're not suggesting people delay naming their company, are you?
What's that?
You're not suggesting people delay naming their company, are you?
No, not at all. You can't be no-name company for a while. But you can change a name if it doesn't work. It's not advised. A lot of times, if we were to start today and try to decide to launch a bookstore, and I told you, let's name it after the biggest river in the world, you'd mm-hmm. probably think I was a little crazy.
Right.
And I think that's the message that I want to get through to people is you can put the meaning in the name, even if it doesn't seem intuitive right out of the bat.
Well, I'll give you a quick example. There's an organization that I started telling people about probably 12 years ago where they were teeny tiny. I just like the people. Gail Goodman is the president. And the company was called Roving, R-O-V-I-N-G. And they were on my show talking about email marketing for years as Roving. And the next thing I know, they changed their name. You know what they changed it to?
What did they choose?
Constant Contact.
Oh, all right.
Roving wasn't bad, but Constant Contact is better. They changed their name.
And you can do that. I mean, it's costly. So especially if you get way down the line,
it can be right.
You got to get everybody to understand you. And there are some names that people worry about that actually they shouldn't worry about. So you can create it. If the name is a little hard to pronounce or people pronounce it wrong frequently, that's a problem. But a lot of times it's not a killer for
right.
business. I think it's much harder when people stumble over it and they don't know what to call it. A friend of mine
right.
often says, the fashion brand Fashionable, which I don't even know if I say it right. Everybody corrects themselves. I think that's a challenging brand name because nobody knows how to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But Verizon, which some people pronounce Verizon, probably not as much of a problem.
I never pronounce it Verizon. Hey, listen, folks, you can learn more about this by reading the book Brand Real by Lawrence Vincent, wherever books are sold. Larry, come back again real soon. Let's talk about this some more.
Great. Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time. Lawrence Vincent, ladies and gentlemen. That's Lawrence with a U, by the way. Quick break, 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.